Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Susan Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Victoria Woodhull, Elizabeth Blackwell, all the original suffragists and really successful women early on in this movement were very pro-life.
Crisis does not invite us to embrace that which is novel, but to hold fast to what is sure and certain.
The point of Scripture is that the texts are about Christ. In fact, Hebrews 10 explicitly says this. Jesus explicitly says it in John 5. And we continue to manipulate the biblical text and make it about ourselves.
Vicar's wives love listening to Issues Etc. while feeding their kids lunch.
Blessed is the Lord.
And these are gifts which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Have you found yourself doing this when you do your nightly perusal of social media, Facebook or Twitter, or even places that are a lot less conversational like Instagram or elsewhere? You censor yourself. You're aware of the fact that you have certain beliefs that others are going to strongly disagree with. And so you just don't say anything. You avoid topics, especially political topics, because you don't want to spend the evening either arguing or worrying that maybe you said the wrong thing, or frustrated that you didn't feel like you could say the right thing. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, August the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about political conversations on social media. Peter Slayton will join us here in the first half hour or so of the program. He's social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then we'll go through listener email, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll spend the remainder of the program looking forward to the feast and festival of St. Bartholomew, remembered by the church today. Pastor David Peterson, departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be our guest. Joining us to discuss political conversations on social media, Peter Slayton, social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Social Media Politics, Speaking as a Christian in the Chaos. Peter, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Is there a way to avoid political conversations on social media?
Stay off social media? There is. I mean, that's my snarky response, but you can simply not have them on your own wall. You can simply not get involved in them when you see other people having them. But the way social media is today, and especially has been for the last 3 or 4 years, it is unavoidable to at least see these conversations happening. If you're going to be on social media, you're going to see the conversations happening whether you're participating in them or not. So if you're asking, can you even avoid just seeing it at all, that's pretty much impossible in this day and age.
People react differently to this. I do this for a living. I talk about these issues for a living. When I go home and open up Twitter or Facebook, I'm numb to it for the most part. My wife is the opposite. She's very sensitive, especially when it's family members and there's political conflict. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, my wife actually got off of social media for the most part for some of these reasons. And so I, as the social media manager, I know I'm supposed to want everybody to be on social media and everybody to be involved. But the reality is you don't need to be on social media. There is no calling from God, no demand from God that we need to be there. And so if it's difficult for you to speak in those situations, to even see them, you don't have to be there. So I want to let people know we're not binding people's consciences that they have to be on social media if they're a Christian. I know there are sometimes people who will say, it's a great place for outreach. It's a great place for confessing the faith. I even talk about that in my article pretty explicitly. but that doesn't mean you have to be there. And so if it's something that hurts to watch or causes you stress or anxiety, it's okay to step away. It's okay to step back. It's okay to not be in there. If you're like you, Todd, or like myself, where we're kind of numb to it to a certain extent, well, we kind of have the opposite problem where we tend to jump into the fray maybe a little bit too hard when we should take it a bit easy, just because we're used to it. Yeah, we live in that. It doesn't seem that big a deal to us.
You say that the first question we should ask ourselves before engaging in political conversation on social media is, who am I? Why is that important?
This is the question that really helps me when I am set to engage too hard. I'll use myself as the example here. Knowing who I am specifically as a Christian in Christ is extremely important, because so many of the conversations, especially the political ones that we can get into on social media, will skip right past all of that. I don't know if it was Dr. Nagel. It seems like a Nagelism, but to say the gospel assumed is the gospel denied. You know Nagel better than I do. You can tell me if that's actually from him. But I kind of see this as the same way, where we just assume, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't have to talk about it. I'm in Christ. Everybody knows that. Okay, let's move on to the real conversation. Who am I? Forces us to remember, no, the real conversation is actually who we are in Christ, and that frames everything that we say on social media. People are actually looking at us saying, you're a Christian. Is what you're saying what Jesus said? Is what you're saying what Christians believe? We can't escape that identity, nor should we want to. And I think sometimes in today's culture, there's this temptation to even avoid identifying ourselves as Christians. I know for myself, I have to be careful what bumper stickers I have on my car, just in case the way I'm driving might not be indicative of what somebody thinks a Christian should be driving as. That was a really awkward grammatical sentence, but you get the point. It's the same thing on social media. When I am public and upfront and more open about who I am as a Christian and the fact that I am a Christian, that will actually help me frame my conversation, hopefully in a more Christ-centered way, but at least with that awareness of who I represent. Who is it that I'm speaking for or on behalf of? As a Christian, a little Christ, I represent Jesus in everything I do. There is no setting anywhere in my life where I actually can escape that, nor is there any setting where I should want to escape that. So that's the first question. Who am I? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a representative of Christ. Everything I say, everything I do should reflect that. That's some heavy law, and it's really hard. So I'm not saying that I do that well, because I'm a sinner. I usually fail at that more often than I succeed at it. And then when I do succeed, I don't get the credit for it either, if we're really talking about law and gospel here. But I think we skip that question. And that's why I wanted to put it there in the article as the first one, because I think we too easily just skim right past that and either assume it, that everybody understands that, or we just ignore it entirely. And then no confession of who Christ is gets made more often than not.
Most of us on social media have found it necessary to compartmentalize. You may just say, well, look, I'm just not going to talk politics on Facebook. I'll save that stuff for Twitter, where it's even worse. But we compartmentalize our lives, the things we talk about there. Why does our baptismal identity remain in play all the time, even when we're capable of kind of curating our platform to that degree?
Well, it's who you are. You can't escape your baptism. You can't escape the one who has claimed you in that baptism. You're a Christian. Christ has called you his own. He has claimed you in that baptism. He has joined you to himself. Why are you looking to separate yourself from that? Why are you walking away? That's a move of unbelief. That's our sinful nature that says, I want to set that aside and put that over here. I'm a Christian over in this area of my life, but over here, that's not really something that comes into the conversation. It's not really relevant to the conversation. you don't want to separate yourself from your baptismal identity in Christ. At least you shouldn't. I would hope you don't want to. And if you find yourself tempted by that, well, let's get back to this first question of who am I? Because if you're trying to walk away from that, if you're trying to downplay that, move away from that, we have to ask, what is it that you're trying to do? Who are you trying to please? Who are you attempting to serve in a setting like that if you're trying to untether yourself from that baptismal identity?
Another question that you suggest is, who is listening? What do you mean by that?
Oh, man. The concept of context collapse was a new one to me a couple years ago, but it makes so much sense for why we sometimes have the issues we do on social media. So who's listening? Well, if you're on Facebook, and like most of us who are on Facebook, at some point, you've added friends from all sections of your life. You've got your high school friends, you've got your grade school friends, your church friends, your work friends, all these different circles that you're in, most likely are friends of yours on Facebook. And when you post on Facebook, unless you're completely hiding everything you post, most of us post things that all of our friends can see. That's our privacy settings, or public. If you post publicly, then okay, we're going even broader here. But even if you're just limiting your posts to only your friends, those friends include so many different cross sections, so many different social circles now, that we used to be able to control who heard what from our mouths. Generally speaking, you had your church friends and you would talk about things about church and faith and spirituality with those friends. You had your work friends and you talk about work things with your work friends. And very rarely was a church friend also a work friend, unless that circle happened to intersect. You have your family gatherings at Thanksgiving. We're all very aware of there's this one relative at Thanksgiving where you have a difficult time having a conversation with them. And so when you're there at Thanksgiving, you're very careful about what subjects you discuss with that relative. On social media, or Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're at, all those different circles, all those different social networks that you have end up in one place. And you're now speaking on a platform where all of those people are listening to you. You're not actually separating out those circles anymore. Everybody's listening. And so that one relative at Thanksgiving is now hearing the conversation that you might normally have with a friend at church about your faith. And your coworker, who might not be a Christian at all, is also listening in on that conversation and observing it and seeing it. Even if they're never commenting, even if they're never clicking that like button, they're present and they're observing it and they're thinking thoughts about it. I guarantee you that something is running through their mind about what you said. And back to question number one, they're thinking, okay, is this what Christians believe? Is this what Jesus would say? Is this what the Bible teaches? All those circles are now intersecting. And when you post on social media, you actually have to think about who is listening, who is going to hear this, and what might they be hearing as I say this? How am I saying it in a way that needs to take into account all these different circles? Kind of as a byproduct of writing this article, I finally figured out why Google Plus organized itself around circles. They were trying to avoid this very problem. When you add a friend on Google Plus, you add them to a specific circle. And when you share content, you only share it with specific circles. I think they were actually trying to deal with this issue. It was an utter and total failure because it just didn't work for many and various reasons. But I think they were actually onto something as they were organizing their social network specifically around these kinds of circles.
There's an old Seinfeld episode where George Costanza, this was way before social media, but he has this happen to him and he keeps saying to Jerry, worlds are colliding because his social circle from one context was mixing with the social circle from another and he hated
it.
So we're all kind of going through that.
Yeah, and we're going through it on a massive global scale in ways that we've really never been prepared for. There is no training for this. The unfortunate thing is, the social circles on social media are the training for how to deal with them. And so your wife, my wife, the conversation we had a little bit earlier there are many different ways to handle it. And in some cases, it's like, you know what? I'm going to get out of this game. It's just not worth it to me to be trying to appease all the different people here. It's really, really hard. It actually takes skill to manage these well if we decide we're going to try and actually manage them well. For my part, I wouldn't say I necessarily have that skill. I'd probably say less rather than trying to engage and say more. My reaction hasn't been to get off, but it has certainly been to say much less publicly.
We're talking with Peter Slayton, social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about political conversations on social media. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. When we come back, you say that as a Christian, your social media platform isn't a free speech zone. We'll find out why that is.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Jesus on divorce, oaths, retaliation and kindness, love your enemies, and almsgiving. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
We're talking about political conversations on social media. Our guest is Peter Slayton, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Social Media Politics, Speaking as a Christian in the Chaos. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Learn more at cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Peter, you say that as a Christian, your social media platform isn't a free speech zone. Why not?
Well, because of who we represent. This is the comment to Americans, especially in our culture right now, where we are very much defined by our Americanness and our rights. And that tends to be the first thing that we run to on social media in our current political and social context. And so we need to remember, as Christians, our first thought isn't the Bill of Rights and free speech and what I'm allowed to do and say as an American, what kind of freedom I have as an American. Our first thought should actually be back to that. Who do I represent? Who am I? And frankly, the reality is there are certain things that I'm simply not going to say because I'm a Christian. because of who I represent and how Christ calls me to behave, how Christ calls me to speak in the different settings that I'm in. And so I can't just say, I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. We're not antinomians here. That's simply not how life as a Christian works. But very often when I hear people say, well, it's a free country, it's free speech, it's my wall, it's my group, it's my page, it's my Twitter feed, I can say whatever I want, I have free speech. What I'm often hearing is, well, so you just represent you, and it's only about you. You have forgotten that you actually have a higher purpose, a higher calling, back to that baptismal identity, that actually does govern and guide how we are to interact with each other. So the contrast that I'm trying to get out with that particular comment, that statement, is the contrast between the American who believes I can say whatever I want and I should be allowed to do that, and the Christian who says, no, there are some things that I just don't do because I'm a Christian. God has a will for me and how I should live, and I'm going to do the best I can to live according to that. And that might actually mean that I simply don't say some things and don't act in certain ways on social media because of those limits. God's will is good. His law is good. I want to seek to follow that.
The last question that you suggest to one who wants to engage in political conversation on social media is, what will you say? How does that question flow from the first two?
This goes back to what I said kind of at the beginning, where the gospel assumed is the gospel denied. I would like to encourage people to speak more of who Christ is and confess that faith first and publicly and more frequently than they confess anything else. Because what I see more commonly is the political commentary assuming, well, everybody knows I'm a Christian, so I'm just going to talk about the politics, or I'm going to talk about the current situation with lockdowns and COVID, or whatever the situation is going on that day. I'd like to encourage people to specifically confess that their trust, first and foremost, in any of these situations, political, cultural, social, is in Christ. That his life, death, and resurrection for our sins actually is the answer to our political questions and our political problems as well. That our trust is in him and him alone as the solution to all of this, not in getting the correct political leader elected, not in solving the social situation in the way we think is best, the way we can best do it as humans, but recognizing and publicly confessing that in this next election, whether it's Trump or whether it's Biden, my trust is in Christ. I'm actually in a different kingdom, in one sense, that everything I am, everything I believe, everything I trust is all about Christ. And as I confess that, there will be answers that I'll have. There will be comfort found in these other situations. But first and foremost, I'm confessing who my Savior is and that I believe in him and trust in him above all things. For us Lutherans, this is a first commandment issue. We fear, love, and trust in God above all else. That's what it means to follow the first commandment. And being specific and explicit and public about that confession, frankly, would be a refreshing thing to see on social media as a Christian. Now, as somebody who's seeing that, who doesn't believe what we believe, it might be more distressing for that. So I'm not saying that you're going to fix your arguments, that it's going to be a more peaceful Facebook wall, that you're going to engage in conversations that aren't as filled with angst and stress and frustration. You may actually increase the amount of angst and stress and frustration on your newsfeed by being explicit about what you believe. But that is what we are called to confess, who Christ is, what he has done, and trusting in him alone for all of these things, that he is actually the answer to all of these problems. That confession is going to make the world even more angry at us. And yet, it's the best thing we can say on social media.
Where do we find what you call God's view of this world to guide our online conversations?
Well, you're going to find it in his word. Spending time reading his word. Listen to your pastor as he teaches you God's word, as he tells you, here's God's will for your life and how we are to live as Christians. As Lutherans, we've got this fantastic guide in the Small Catechism. We've got the Table of Duties in the back. You got the six chief parts of the Small Catechism, but you've got the Table of Duties as well, which tells you, how are you to live in context with these other people in your life, these other roles that you have? And all of that is drawn from Scripture. I love the Small Catechism because it's simply a reduced summary, an explanation of what Scripture teaches on those topics. And so it's very easy to access it and then open up your Bible to go deeper. But God has given us the guide of how we should behave, how we should act. Let's go to his word. Don't be afraid to read Paul and his exhortations for a Christian life and how Christians are supposed to live. He's got some fantastic things to say in those areas. And take those and then say, okay, how do I apply this on social media? How do I govern my speech, govern my interactions in the way that Paul says Christians are to live?
Some political conversations on social media have jeopardized or even ruined friendships or even family relationships. How do we avoid this?
There needs to be a sense of humility as we post. I know that the common thing within our culture is you need to be humble because you could be wrong. I'm not saying it in that sense, but there needs to be a sense of humility and kindness with which we approach these things, which is very difficult to convey on social media. We have several things working against us. First, our culture has forgotten how to read tone. We've also forgotten how to write tone. It's simply something that is not done well anymore. I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else in my ability to read tone from other people and in my own writing. Even in this article, I'm not entirely sure and confident that I struck the correct tone, which means on social media, when it's organized around quick, pithy sound bites, people are encouraged to skim, you know, maybe read the first sentence and think they've gotten the whole point of the argument and not really read deeper. It can be very easy to hurt other people and damage them with the words that we type there simply because they're not necessarily going to read everything. They're not going to read it all in context. They're not going to take the time. And I'm also not reading everything in context. I'm also not taking the time to read everything carefully and to really process it. All of that can tend to harm those relationships because I'm not being careful and perhaps they're not being careful. There's fault on both sides. So the way that I would encourage us to avoid this is to look at social media as something where you actually have to work really hard to communicate well. It's not a quick and easy place to post your hot takes and your quick comments about the social thing going on that day. Consider that it might actually be a difficult place to communicate and approach it as such, and take more care in how you type your posts and how you type your response, especially when friends and family are involved. And also be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to actually have this conversation in person with my family member or with my friend rather than trying to duke this out on social media. Because it more often than not on social media turns into duking it out because it's just the way these things are structured, unfortunately.
In that vein, some people believe that it is impossible to have civil conversation on social media, especially when it comes to politics. What do you think of that?
I think they're right and I think they're wrong. It really depends on the people that you're talking to or that you're talking with. There are some people where I just simply don't engage them because I know because of my relationship with that individual, I'm not going to be heard in the way I hope to be heard. I'm not going to be understood in the way I hope to be understood. There are certain groups or pages where I just know if I engage in a conversation there, it's not likely to go well. And then I have other friends or I have other groups or other pages where I know if I'm careful about how I engage in that context, it actually has a chance of being a really good conversation. Not that I'm going to win it, not that I'm going to convince the other person that I'm right and they're wrong, but we can actually have a civil conversation about the topic at hand. I think it's very much picking your battles, although I don't like the battle imagery, even though I've used it several times throughout this conversation here, but knowing where to jump in and where not to jump in. Because you do know these people, they are from your different social circles, you'll have at least a little inkling of how they are likely to respond to you, how they are likely to interact with you. So use your knowledge of what you know them to be as a person to help inform how you engage on social media, while at the same time recognizing that's not the only person who is engaging in that conversation. I have a conversation going on right now between family members that I'm debating, should I jump in on this? Or if I jump in, am I actually going to inflame the conversation? Because right now it seems pretty civil. And it could be that me adding to that conversation is actually what makes it turn uncivil, just because of how I am known, how I am perceived by the individuals present. And so I'm weighing that very carefully if I even am going to engage. I haven't decided yet. Maybe by the end of today, I'll have decided that I'm not going to engage at all. I'm just going to leave it. But it is possible. But like I said, it requires a lot of hard work, and it requires having the conversation in the right place. And not every place is the right place to have the conversation.
Peter Slayton is social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Social Media Politics, Speaking as a Christian in the Chaos. You can follow the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on Facebook, facebook.com/theLCMS, and on Twitter, @theLCMS. Peter, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
We'll be going through listener email on the other side of the break. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Church and State, Communion Fellowship, The Church Year, Baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Are you looking for the historic liturgy of the Church and the true sacraments of our Lord administered rightly? Then we would like to invite you to Zion Lutheran Church in Pampa, Texas, where the Lord gathers us around His gifts of word and sacrament, and where heaven and earth come together. If you live in or are visiting the Northeast Panhandle of Texas, we welcome you to the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15. Come join us.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.